Thankful this morning to share God's word with you. But I not only have some scriptures to share, but I've got a burden on my heart. So I just pray that the Lord will help us to understand his heart and his burden for us today, that I'll be able to communicate clearly what the Lord has in his word. Psalm 31 and verse 1. David says, "In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Bow down thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock, for a house of defense to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privately for me. For thou art my strength. Into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. I've hated them that regard lying vanities, but I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversities, and hast not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. Thou hast set my feet in a large room." Part of this psalm is used as a prophecy of the Lord Jesus. He used some of these words when he was on the cross. The verse 5, "Into thine hand I commit my spirit." That is a prophecy of the Lord. Verses 13 and 14, 15 also. You can look forward to Christ in those verses. But my thoughts this morning are about trusting in the Lord. Where is your trust this morning? Who do you base your help? Where does your help come from for your life? Where is your confidence? In whom is your confidence or your hope for eternity? How do you base this morning the thought, "I'm going to live in eternity with the Lord"? What makes you sure of that this morning? How do you know? Where's your trust? This is a burden on my heart this morning, because I realize that it's very easy for us to say we trust in the Lord, but the way that we live our lives is another story. And so I want to speak this morning about some of the ways that we can actually trust in other things. I want to look in Jeremiah this morning, chapter 17, I believe it is. And verse 5, it says, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord." In the one that we read in Psalms 31, David said, "I've hated the thought or those who regard lying vanities." We know that Israel in these times were David, after David, and then Jeremiah, the prophet that wept and spoke God's words of sadness and lamentation over his people, Israel. Why? Because they had turned their hearts away from the Lord, and they had turned to idols. They, as we spoke last Sunday, I believe it was, where Moses and Aaron and Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, had actually ascended up, and they had seen the glory, the overwhelming glory, the clearness, the purity, the holiness. They had seen that. And then right after that, they went and they worshipped a golden calf. And also Nadab and Abihu went one day and presumed to go into the holy place and take strange fire. They knew how holy and how powerful and how awesome God was. But they presumed upon him. And how fearful. What happened to those men? Remember what we spoke of last Sunday? Those men were stricken with fire. The people of Israel had seen many times the power and the manifestation of the glory of God. And yet time after time they would regard, or they would set their hope and their trust and their worship upon some kind of an image, something that they could make with their own hands. And that's the tendency we find in every human heart, is to put your trust, to run for refuge, to put your hope in something that's connected with you somehow. Well, I want to do this by my own strength, or I'm going to strategize and figure out how to do this, or I'm going to do this many things, and my soul is going to be okay because I'm doing this. And it's just all a salvation and a deliverance that's based upon my own efforts and my own strength. And you say, well, we don't do that. We trust in Jesus. Do we really? And this is the thought, the burden that's been on my heart is, do I really trust in the Lord for my salvation? Do I really run to Him as my strength and my source? Do I really rely upon Him to supply all of my needs? Do I put my life into His hand? Do I put body and soul into His control? Do I seek to do His will? Do I seek for His kingdom, for Him to be ruler and Lord in my life? Trust myself to Him to work out things for me. We heard this morning testimonies of how in these little things that God can come and intervene. He can find things for us. He can work things out for us. He can deliver us. He can spare us. If we know these things, why is it that somehow we find ourselves from time to time still trusting in our own efforts? You say, maybe we don't even say it. Maybe there's just kind of a thought. Maybe there's just a little comfort that we take in thinking, well, I went to church this Sunday. I'm pretty good. I'm a Christian. We might say, well, I prayed, so I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. Or, well, I look the way I'm supposed to look. Or, I believe all the right things. Do you know that really doesn't quite get it? Still, we can take comfort in those things. We can trust in those things with all of our hearts. We base our hope for eternity many times on our own efforts. And when God has said, cursed is the man, well, He says that here, who trusts in man and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. One of the verses that the children had, I believe it was David's verse this morning, it said, the Lord knows those who trust in Him. That really, the Lord was dealing with me about this message anyway, but when David started practicing his verse, it just really, it convicted me, because the thought came to me, if my heart is really departed from the Lord, if I'm regarding a lying vanity in my heart, if I'm relying on my own strength, if I'm not really trusting in the Lord, but I think I am, or I feel kind of comforted in what I'm doing, and the Lord knows it. The Lord knows those who trust in Him. The Lord knows it when we don't trust in Him. The Lord is sad, and Valerie had a testimony this past week about how God showed her how His heart is toward those who go off of the way, who get lost. And I thought, well, maybe we don't intend to go into sin. And I've told the Lord that many times. Lord, I don't want to do anything wrong. I don't want to go into this world and sin. I have no desire to do that. But you know what the temptation or the easiest thing for me to do is to slip into self-righteousness and trust in the good things that I'm doing. You understand what I'm saying? You all understand? Maybe you can identify with these things. Maybe you can't. But it is one of the easiest things for us to do is to walk alongside of the true path in a path that's kind of our own making. It's just kind of a way that we have of, and I keep coming back to this word of comforting ourselves in this or the other, but really not completely in the Lord Himself. This says, and goes on, for he shall be like, the man that trusts in flesh will be like the heath in the desert. And I looked up what a heath was. And a heath is kind of it's a barren type plant that doesn't have fruit nor seed. It doesn't have anything. That's the way our life will be if we trust in our own efforts. The Lord Jesus told his disciples, I want you to bear fruit. I'm looking for fruit from you. And if we trust in our own efforts, we won't bear fruit. We won't have good legacy or heritage coming out of our lives at all. Our lives will be barren. We won't have the fruits of righteousness. We won't have peace and love and joy. Have you ever noticed that when you start kind of trying to do things in your own strength, those are some of the three fruit of the Spirit that are the first listed. Those three, it seems like they just slip away. Peace, love, peace, and joy. And you're just kind of thinking, I just don't feel at peace, or I don't feel the joy, or I don't have the enthusiasm. I'm just kind of bumping along here. And we get to looking a little deeper, and we find out, you know, I've kind of tried to do this day on my own, and it's not working. How many times, as a mother, the demands were so great, and I just kind of presumed that I'm going to be okay. I'm going to be able to get through this day. But partway through the day, the Lord would let me see what was going on. You're trying to do this in your own strength. Why don't you take a little time and call on my name? A song came to me this morning as I was thinking about these things, and I can't remember all the words, but I think it's Dottie Rambo that wrote it. She said, where do you run to? Where do you hide? Where do you, what do you build on? And then the answer in the song is, I go to the rock. I go to the rock of my salvation. I go to the mountain, and the mountain stands by me. When all around is sinking sand, on the solid rock I stand. When I need a helper and when I need a friend, I go to the rock. Where do you go to this morning? It seems like that in our world today, I see more and more of this, that people are depending on others to get them through, other things. They're looking to a preacher. They're looking to a ministry. They're looking to a movement. They're looking to a set of worship guidelines. They're looking to a specific author, devotional. They'll read a little devotional in the mornings and they comfort themselves in that. Not that devotionals are wrong, but what burdens me is that there are people who depend on those things for their spiritual sustenance alone. There are books today that are written as if God is speaking. And people read those books chapter after chapter. Do we know the author? Do we know what kind of life that person lives? Can we put our hope and our trust in these things for salvation, for guidance, for leadership? Can we just blindly go with something that's popular in the world today, a best-selling author? What did Jesus say? I think about one thing that Jesus said. He said, that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. What a strong statement Jesus made there. It's one of his strongest, I think. That which is highly esteemed. I have to admit that I'm suspect of bestsellers and things that are really popular in all of the world today. Because I think if that many people are trusting in that, but the quality of their lives is not changing, if things are just getting worse and worse in people's lives, it kind of depicts what people are trusting in. If their lives are not holy, but they are feeding on and trusting in certain ministries or preacher on television or mega church speaker or whatever it is, if that's what they're trusting in, they're not going to have the fruits of righteousness. And I'm afraid this is what we're seeing today is people who are trusting in some kind of flesh, either their own or someone else. Trusting in. Have you ever heard of people who said, well, Grandma will pray for me and I'll be all right? Did you know that the Lord Jesus wants to be your friend? He wants you to develop a trust and a dependence on Him, not on Grandpa or Grandma or Mama or Daddy or the preacher, the pastor. What He really wants, He doesn't want us to be spectators in religion, where we watch something going on, but we're not really involved in our hearts. Where we hope and we trust in a future that's not really biblically sound for us. It's not based on God's word. We're not grounding our lives in God's word. If we trust in something other than God's word and Him alone. This says in verse 7, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters and that spreadeth out her roots by the river and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green and shall not be careful or anxious in the year of drought. Neither shall cease from yielding fruit. If all of your people, if all of your preachers, if all of the people that you trust and depend on, if they would all go away and it would just be you and the Lord, if you came to a situation in your life where you had to get through to God, could you get through to God? Or if somebody wasn't there that always prayed for you, what would you do? What would happen to you? These are some of the things that the Lord's burdened my heart with today. He wants to be our stay. He wants to be our refuge. He wants to be the person that we run to. That's what, in one of the words of trust, and I can't remember which passage it was, but when I looked it up, I believe it's that one in Nahum, David's verse this morning. Nahum 1 and 7. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and He knoweth them that trust in Him. That word trust right there, it means to run for refuge. He knows those who, and I believe it was Dustin's verse this morning, who said, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. The Lord knows those who run to Him in time of trouble. Who do you run to this morning when you're in trouble? Did you know that you can run to the Lord? He's the one that wants to be your help and your stay. He wants your faith. He wants your dependence. He wants your love. And included in that is you committing and submitting yourself to Him. It's all in there. If we run to Him for help, I remember a woman one time in my youth who, she was doing things constantly in her life that were against God's word. And yet she really talked of and sang about loving Jesus. And I remember asking my grandma one time, I said, "Grandma, what about her?" And she said, "Honey, she needs a Jesus because she has a lot of troubles." And that always stayed with me. And I thought, yes, I know she needs a Jesus. But how is it going to work out if she doesn't ever obey Him? But she calls on Him in trouble. But she won't obey Him. And I always was troubled about that. As a little girl, I thought, I think that if we need Jesus, we ought to do what He says. And I know that's in the Scriptures. It says He knows them that trust in Him. I want to tell you a story about this verse and this book. Nahum, this book that this is written in. You remember the story of Jonah? Jonah was a prophet that was sent to the city of what? Can you tell me? Anybody know? Who said that? Nineveh? Good, Levi. Jonah was sent to Nineveh. Nineveh was a big city. It was 55 miles around. If you want to go around the city, it's 55 miles. There were over 600,000 people in that city. That's twice the size of Lexington. It's a big city. Maybe not as big as New York City, but it was 600,000 would be a big city to me. I don't know what city we could compare it to. I didn't do my homework there. But anyway, just imagine a city twice as big as Lexington. Lots of children in the city. But this city was the capital of Assyria. Assyria was one of the enemy countries to Israel. They constantly would try to come against Israel. What happened to Israel one time in the days of Hezekiah? The king, or the ruler of Assyria, and I think history records that he lived here in Nineveh, but he had come against Israel, and he had, I think, 85,000 soldiers, and he came against Hezekiah. What happened to him? His name was Sennacherib. The Lord